from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Welcome back to hour number 2 of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number 2, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jiffy Lube is the sponsor. Visit JiffyLube.com today to find the location nearest you. Oil change, brakes. If you want, they'll change your cabin filter. Engine filter.
All of these above.
Yeah, man. They will get your car working right.
That's right.
We love Jiffy Lube very, very much. Man, that location, there's one in Elk Grove right off of Laguna.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfect because I drop my car there. There's a Starbucks in the same parking lot.
Oh.
So I just go across. I get some work done. They hit me up in less than an hour. Got time to knock out a couple stories. I pick up my car and I go home.
There you go.
It's the best.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It's very, very cool. Somebody asked you a question in the chat.
Oh, they asked me a question about what my favorite band was.
Oh, good question.
I don't know.
You don't have a favorite band?
No, I do.
Oh, okay.
I would say my all-time favorite band, like 1 and 2, is Journey and U2.
Mm.
So...
My dad this weekend, because again, I was watching all the stuff on Saturday at my parents' house, and my dad has a bunch of his old vinyl, and he said, hey, if you want to, I've already gone through it once.
Yeah.
And took half a dozen or 8 things or whatever, but I went through it again and took a few more things. One of them was a Journey double album that's 1975 through 1977, so it's pre-Steve Perry.
Yeah.
And my dad was playing some of it, and it sounds like great. Friends are over, we're hanging out, just chit-chatting, playing cards or whatever we're doing. Sounds perfect for that, and I'm really excited to play it. Okay. Journey's great.
No, Journey's great.
Yeah.
I'm a big Steve Perry fan, just bummer that they weren't able to like stick together. And,
yeah. So. And Matt, who asked you that question, wants a bell for his birthday. Yeah, bro, we can get you. Happy birthday. We'll get you a ding there. We'll get you some air horns. We'll get you some pause.
I'm a winner.
And you know what, Matt? Just for you, just for your birthday, we've got some free advice courtesy of James Hamm.
We don't touch other people's privates. There it is.
Exactly.
All right.
The 49ers and Raiders opened their preseason slates on Saturday. The Raiders opened up with a 24-23 loss to the Minnesota Vikings, but they led 20-7 at halftime, which you could argue means more than actually losing the game. Because that's when, like, not that teams are out there game planning and necessarily trying to win preseason games, but if it's your best slash better guys against their best slash better guys and you're up 20-7, that's a good sign for me.
Yeah.
Aiden O'Connell started the game. He played, I believe, 1 series, and then Gardner Minshew came in and played 4 series. I still think Gardner Minshew is going to win that job. The playing time would indicate that Aiden O'Connell is like the front runner, right? They got him on the field for, I think it was 1 series.
1 series.
They got him on the field, said, okay, that's enough. Get him out of there. We need to keep him on ice for the regular season.
And they let him throw.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, he mm-hmm. was 7-9 mm-hmm. for like 76 yards.
Yeah. But then Gardner Minshew came in, and Gardner Minshew was really good.
I thought he was too.
I don't know, man. 6-12, 117, a touchdown for Gardner Minshew. I don't know, man. I just don't see it with Aiden O'Connell. I just don't.
Yeah, the question is, do you want a guy who puts up stats,
mm-hmm.
or do you want a guy who wins for you? Because that's what it feels like the question is. Like, one guy is going to be really strong statistically, mm-hmm. I think. But that doesn't mean that he's going to make the throws when you need him to make the throws, and he's going to get you over the hump. Minshew is just one of those randos that have an ability to win and mean more to their team than just mm-hmm. a guy standing in the pocket and throwing darts all over the field.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy that leads a team. That's yeah. what I've always thought of him. Now, we could be wrong, and Aiden O'Connell could be a really good player.
Mm-hmm.
But Minshew sort of feels like the guy that you can have there for 2 years. Year one, he's your starter. Year two, you draft another high-level guy, and he's going to be the guy mm-hmm. that takes over at some point. I don't feel like Aiden O'Connell is a player who is going to keep developing to the point where he's your starter long-term, and
yeah.
you're going to have him as a starter for the next decade. And I like, maybe I'm wrong.
Sure.
But I just like the early result of watching him is like, okay, big arm, and then what?
Yeah.
And it's tough.
Yeah. Is he going to be dynamic enough to be, because in the NFL now, it feels like, given how athletic defenses are, you have to be able to make those secondary plays, right?
Yes.
Those second reaction plays. And that's something that makes Patrick Mahomes great. It is one of the things that when Jalen Hurts was an MVP candidate made him so good. It's one of Dak Prescott's best qualities. It's something that bailed Brock Purdy out in the NFC Championship game.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I don't know that Aiden O'Connell has. And that in today's NFL is going to put you in a bad spot when defenses kind of sit on what you're doing offensively.
Yeah, it's with Minshew specifically, he's got like that Jeff Garcia like grittiness.
Ooh,
to him.
Jeff Garcia is a good comp.
Like that, you know what I mean? That like yeah. gritty, hey, mm-hmm. I'm going to make a play that no one thought I was, and mm-hmm. get crushed. Like, you know, he's gritty. He mm-hmm. doesn't mind standing in there when he shouldn't and trying to make the play for mm-hmm. his team. Now, it doesn't always work out, and I don't think he's a Pro Bowl quarterback or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But if this is what you're doing, if you're not going to go out and go get a top end, mm-hmm. you know, player in the draft, and you're going to sit here and kind of float for a year or two,
mm-hmm.
then I'm going with the guy who has the experience and who has shown throughout his career that he can win games.
Yeah. Yeah, the other big takeaway for me was I think the Raiders' defense is going to be really good.
Yeah.
I think so Jack Jones can play at corner. Ja'Corian Bennett had a big pass breakup on a fourth and two. It was a pass breakup in the end zone on a fourth down. If they get legit cornerback play, they don't even need great cornerback play because I think their pass rush is going to be nasty. It's Max Crosby leading the way. They added Christian Wilkins to the middle. Malcolm Kuntz was really good for them last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to be a problem. They need like mid-tier cornerback play, and I think they could get that and maybe more. And if they get that, they're going to be really, really hard to move the ball on. So that was my other big takeaway. Again, it's preseason week one. Trying not to overreact.
Yeah.
To anything, but
I was like, Brock Bowers got out there and caught a couple of passes.
Yeah, he did.
I thought Jacoby
Myers,
like, mm-hmm. like, what is he doing out there? Like, like after last year's, like, hasn't he done enough to show that like maybe you don't want him out there in preseason all that much?
Yeah, the philosophies are so interesting.
Yeah.
with different coaching staffs. But I think if you're having a quarterback battle, if you're legit, if you don't know who your starting quarterback is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You have to give the quarterbacks reps with guys like Jacoby Myers.
I guess, but it feels a little bit like running Keegan Murray out for the California Classic. You know what I mean? Like at that point, like week one of preseason, like week two, week three, I'm okay with a play in a quarter.
Yeah. I don't know. I get why it's valuable. For various reasons, but I also get why teams do what the Rams do, for example,
mm-hmm.
and just play nobody. Sean McVay said starters aren't playing any preseason.
Oh, yeah.
They'll get that work in practice. And it'll be interesting to see now on the 49ers side of things, because typically they do these joint practices, and that's what matters that week to Kyle Shanahan. He has said, I prefer the joint practices over the preseason games, full stop.
Yep.
Well, the 49ers are so banged up that they do not have enough healthy bodies to properly execute a joint practice.
Had to cancel everything.
Had to cancel their joint practices with the Saints this week.
Brutal.
So they're having a normal practice, and then they will go play a game. It'll be interesting to see, because last year, or the last couple of years, they have their joint practices, and then that basically substitutes for game reps in Kyle Shanahan's mind.
Mm.
So the starters who are entrenched don't play in that preseason game after the joint practices, because they've seen enough in the week of practice. They know what they're going to get. So they give those reps to reserves and allow guys who aren't going to make the team to just put some stuff on tape and maybe get picked up elsewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to get to do that now. So I'm kind of wondering if we're going to see the Niners in week two against the Saints at Levi Stadium, if they're going to play starters that they weren't going to play had they done their joint practices. Like, they might be forced into it, A, because they need to see these guys against another team, and the guys need to see another team and hit somebody else, and B, because I don't know that they're going to have enough players to get through a preseason game if they don't.
Yeah, it's a bit of a quandary. They're in a little bit of trouble with regards to the injuries. Now, you write at 49ers Wire.
Niners Wire.
Okay, mm-hmm. So what do we have for injuries? I know the Ambry Thomas, like, yep, snapped his forearm.
Broken forearm.
So he's out a few weeks. He might be, like, a few weeks.
I think he's done as a 49er.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. He was on the outside looking in for me going into the season, or okay, preseason. He didn't play well. At all. He missed two tackles. He had a holding call on a in the end zone.
Yep.
On a third down stop by D Winners. Just not a good game for Ambry. And then he breaks his forearm, and it's going to basically remove him from a spot where he could redeem himself after a bad game.
Mm.
So he might go on IR and have his season be done, and then they can reach an injury settlement and he can go sign elsewhere. Or they'll say, hey, you'll just get caught with everybody else, and if he can come back, great. I don't know what the plan is there with him. Christian McCaffrey, obviously.
Yeah, with calf injury.
You have and non-injury stuff. You have Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk. That's those situations still have to play themselves out.
Yep.
Elijah Mitchell is banged up. It's Spencer Burford, the offensive lineman, starting offensive lineman the last couple of years, has a broken hand. And then there's a bunch of guys just dealing with I think Ricky Pearsall's got a shoulder. It's literally so many that we don't even have all of them down. Drake Jackson is done for the year.
Oh yeah.
Because of his patella tendon surgery. He didn't recover fast enough or had some kind of setback, but he is now on IR. His season's done. So now they're a little thinner at defensive end. It's just a mess, man.
Yeah.
It is not they have a 90-man roster. 33 players didn't play in their preseason opener for various reasons. Brock Purdy and Deebo Samuel, for example, didn't play because the starters weren't playing.
Mm-hmm.
But they had let's conservatively call it 15 guys who didn't play because they're going to be starters. But that means 18 dudes didn't play because of injury.
That's not good.
18? That's a lot.
Didn't one of their young linebackers get hurt early in the game too?
Yeah, D Winters got hurt, but he just got the wind knocked out of him. He came back into the game. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. I don't have a ton from that Niner game. I think Brandon Allen is probably the leader at the backup quarterback spot.
Yeah.
But also, I want to see Josh Dobbs get the opportunities that Brandon Allen got with some of the first teams, some of the starting offensive line, mm-hmm, getting some reps with Jordan Mason. And getting reps with receivers who I think are actually going to play a little bit.
Yeah.
Because Josh Dobbs was just under siege all night, and I don't think ever got a chance to get into rhythm. So that battle's still happening, I guess. But
yeah, and I'd say, like, even the numbers that the Brandon Allen put up, which were solid, mm-hmm, right? They were also, like, he had some of his guys drop some really bad balls.
Yeah, he had two good deep throws, Tay Martin and then Ronnie Bell,
mm-hmm,
who in their hands and dropped them.
Yeah.
Right, that's not great.
So Were there any good takeaways from that first game?
Yeah. I think they have a starting right guard.
Okay.
I think Dominic Pooney, their third round pick, I think he's going to start for them.
Yeah, but we cannot have Tim Ryan going on TV and calling something a Pooney push.
Bro.
We can't have that.
Bro.
We can't have that.
I have so many thoughts on our guy T-Rock. The funniest part of the night was the Niners won a lot of two tight end stuff to start the game. It was a lot of Braden Willis and this guy, Eric Saubert. Doesn't matter. Okay. Two tight ends. And Tim Ryan at one point is like chastising the Titans defense for running a too high shell with two tight ends on the field. And it's like, my guy, it is preseason. Their defensive coordinator probably went, hey, we're going to run too high shell the whole game. And if we're going to do something different, I'll let you know.
Yeah.
Like you're not game planning. You're going as vanilla as possible. And a too high shell is like as vanilla as it gets. So I thought that was kind of funny. Jordan Mason was really good.
Yeah, I thought he was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looked like a beast.
I think Elijah Mitchell might not make the team.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
Now, granted, that changed a little bit because Isaac Arendo, their fourth round rookie, has been hurt basically since the first day of camp.
Yeah.
And has not been able to play. And then Cody Schrader wasn't super impressive. The undrafted rookie from Mizzou, he came in after Jordan Mason.
Okay.
He wasn't super impressive. So maybe Mitchell will stick around just because he's good. He's a good player. But he's hurt again.
Always.
He got another hamstring thing.
Yeah.
He's played, I think it's 27 games across three seasons.
I mean, that's kind of like the same thing Mostert had when he was here.
A little bit.
It feels like they always have these players that are hurt. And then, like, once you swapped out some of the offensive line, like, none of the other running backs were able to do anything.
Oh, it was brutal,
like,
dude.
Matt Breida had, like, 5 carries for 0 yards and a fumble.
6 for 0 with a fumble.
There we go. But, like, all of them, you're looking at all, they're all, like, 6 for 1 or 5 for 1. It's like,
well, Tim Ryan did point this out on the broadcast, and it was a great, the 4th and 5 play where Josh Dobbs got sacked toward the end of the game. The Titans blitzed. The Niners picked it up, but their offensive linemen just got their asses whooped.
Mm.
It was really bad. So yeah, I have such a hard time caring that much about the preseason, and really taking that much away from it because you're not game planning. You're not. It's just all like read and react, and that makes it tougher on defenders. So I don't know. What I don't buy is that. Because we talked about this last week. The vibes are bad with the Niners right now.
Mm-hmm.
You have Trent Williams holding out. You have Brandon Ayuk holding in. You have now not only is Brandon Ayuk holding in, but you've got all these trade rumors swirling. You have injuries to the point that they're canceling joint practices.
Yeah.
And now they're losing a preseason game. I don't tack on the preseason game to the bad vibes.
Yeah, that doesn't
I can't
really
get
matter.
There, man.
Yeah.
I can't. I saw Mike Silver in the Chronicle wrote a big piece kind of detailing why the vibes are down with the Niners, and he added on the preseason loss as part of the Super Bowl hangover, and I'm like, I'm with you to that point.
Yeah. I don't,
Kyle Shanahan wasn't even calling plays.
Yeah, Kyle he was Shanahan, allowing someone else.
Yeah. Clint Kubiak.
Okay.
Their quarterback's coach. So, Kyle Shanahan got flagged on the opening kickoff for being on the field, being in the way of the official. And the reason he was on the field is because they now allow teams to watch film during games instead of just the still shots. And Kyle Shanahan was so engrossed in the film that he just started walking onto the field.
Oh, that's not good.
Like, dude, that's how seriously they're taking this.
Mm.
So I just don't.
He's like a teenager walking into a street looking at his phone.
Well,
that's interesting.
Teenager or a 33-year-old who's about to be 34. Guilty. There were a couple times, dude. There were a couple times in England because the cars are coming from the other direction. It doesn't sound that different, right? Because you're just crossing a street. You're just looking both ways.
Much different.
But it's your peripherals, right? When I walk out into the street, I'm looking
left.
Right. Out of my periphs, I'm looking to the left to see if there's any cars that are going to come.
Yes.
Like, I'm looking at my phone, but I've got an eye out. I've got an eye over here to the left. No. You got to keep an eye out to the right. And so there are a couple times I did the check both ways. Okay, I'm good. Oh, my phone. Let me see. Let me look down. Oh, I want to get my camera out. There's a cool photo. And then all of a sudden it's like, ah, there's a car coming.
That's not good.
Yeah. 33 years old, figuring it out. Look at me go.
Yeah.
But I just thought I was amused by that. He's like, yeah, I was engrossed in the film and walked onto the field. Like, dude, you're the head coach.
It's like, been there.
You can't be doing that, dude.
Who were the losers for you from the first preseason game?
The kickoff coverage.
Okay.
Really tough. Giving up your first quote-unquote dynamic kickoff coverage and you're allowing a 63-yard return.
Yeah, that wasn't great.
I mean, come on. Ambry Thomas, obviously, wasn't great. Matt Breida, the 0 yards with a fumble. I didn't think Matt Breida was going to really make the team anyway, but no yards? You got zero?
That's tough.
That's not a good look.
That's not.
It's not a good look.
Ronnie Bell, two drops, right?
Yeah, but I still think he's going to make the team. I think he's too valuable, special teams wise.
Yeah. I like him. He gets open, or at least he's there. But even like the one catch he did have, he bobbled bad.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, hey man, lock in. What are we doing?
Yeah. Outside of that, I didn't, like I said, it was really clear that the linebackers were all new. Curtis Robinson and D Winters and Jalen Graham, all at various points, they could all wind up starting this year, but all at various points got, you know, hung up on blocks or going the wrong way or missing tackles. But like I said, it's first preseason game. You can have these like takeaways, right? You can have these winners and losers and or whatever it is. But even like with the Raider game, Jacorian Bennett has a pass breakup in the end zone. Like that's awesome. But now if you have a good play like that jumps out on tape and you're like, hell yeah, you have to go out and you have to continue practicing well and you have to carry that over into the next week. And that's what you're watching for. You're going, okay, Dominic Pooney had a great game for the Niners at right guard.
Mm-hmm.
But does he go out and practice as we can continue playing well, continue winning one-on-ones, continue doing the right things in team drills, and then can he back it up again in another game?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what this is about. Is week one of the preseason is not even the foundation, because that's been training camp, and this goes for every team. That's training camp is your foundation. Preseason is, okay, we're applying what we've done in training camp to another team and facing another team. How do you respond? You get beat on a rep. How do you respond? Hey, you win a rep. How do you respond? You drop a pass. What do you do on the next snap? Are you still going down and blocking? Are you sulking about it? If you're a quarterback and you make a bad throw, do you come back and reorganize the offense and make a better throw? It's stacking. It's I know stacking days is like such a cliche, but that's what this is. The preseason game is just another day. And so now you got to come back and practice in the next preseason game and keep building on it.
Especially with Pooney. I think it's one of those guys where, like, will he be the right guard when season opens? Mm-hmm. And there's a good chance that will be the case. But you want to see him continue to grow.
Definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
Because, I mean, the zone blocking and all that, it's complicated. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a very complicated offense to learn for an offensive line. And it's very different than a lot of college, sort of schemes. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to see the growth and see if he's, you know, keeping up. I mean, isn't that the biggest problem that we've heard out of New England, right? Mm-hmm. Where their young quarterback isn't like stacking days.
Yeah.
They're like, what's happening here? He got to a certain point and he's not progressing at all.
Yeah.
And they're starting to panic.
Tough look for Drake May.
Well, I mean, but that's the NFL. Like,
the NFL's hard, dude.
A lot of guys just don't make it.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's injury or whether it's just like, you don't have the capacity, the mental capacity to keep up with the speed of the game. It's absolutely crazy.
The other guy I had a ton of fun watching was Malik Mustafa, the rookie safety from Wake Forest.
Yeah.
It might be confirmation bias because I really liked that pick for the 49ers. But as advertised,
he's a freight train.
Flying around laying hats.
Yeah, but the problem, you always wonder with those guys, like, okay, but can he actually, like, that's fine within the inside the 10, right?
Yes.
But can he do it on a big field? Can he, when it's the other team is first and 10 on the 20 yard line, they got 80 yards to go.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to get burned for a 60 yard? Well,
okay. You know? So that's what's funny about that is he had a big hit on special teams to open the second half.
Mm-hmm.
He had the big hit down there on the fourth and two from
the
four or the three or whatever it was. And like you said, that's 100% correct. It's so easy in that spot to just trigger and go. Because you know, hey, you know what? They're showing run. I'm just going to go. If they had play action there, he's way out of place.
Oh, yeah.
He is way out of position.
Yeah, he's done.
So, but it's easier in that spot to just fire and go hit the running back. But he had the first time I noticed him on the field, he was blitzing off the edge and fell down. And then I think it was the next play, he was way out of position and a tight end got open on a corner route for a big completion. And Malik Mustafa was just out of the play.
Yeah.
He's just in the wrong spot. So again, but that's where you're not going to say, hey, Malik Mustafa can't play because of that. Like, no, he just needs to watch the tape and learn from it, figure out what he did wrong and stack days and get better.
Yeah.
But for the most part, as advertised, as a hitter.
Yeah, it's almost like you're putting him in limited opportunities mm-hmm. to succeed early in his career and then growing from there and seeing how he develops and how he learns the defense and how he schemes and all that stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
We'll keep talking football. We'll keep talking Olympics. That's James. I'm Kyle. We got to hit a break on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Curry, dancing on Batum, over the double team. Oh! It's a golden dagger!
Nah.
Golden dagger.
What a call.
Spectacular.
It was so fun listening to Noah Eagle and Dwayne Wade. Not just in the gold medal game, but the entire tournament, because Noah Eagle is obviously... Yeah, he's 26 or 27 and super polished as a broadcaster already.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was the Clippers broadcaster?
Well, I don't know.
Now I think he's Ian Eagle's the Nets. And I think Noah was with the Clippers. But he's incredible and he sounds just like his dad, which is fun. But I love when broadcasters do that, where they just get lost in it. And like that call, you just heard it as he just goes, oh, like that same yeah. dude. We're simpatico here.
He's like mirroring the crowd a little bit. Where he's allowing the crowd to be part of it, but also doing exactly what the crowd is doing.
Yeah, but then brings it back to the golden dagger.
Yeah.
And he has this whole, that call cuts it short, but reacting, but then bringing himself back into the moment of, okay, I have a game to call, it's a really hard skill. And there are some broadcasters who don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
There are broadcasters who lose their minds and it's super fun, but then they never get back to actually the act of calling the game.
Yeah.
So I thought they were great. If that's going to be the number one broadcast team for NBC's basketball coverage,
oh yeah,
I would be in. I hope that nobody ever, because you hear this all the time. I talked to Steve Smith about this, former Panthers wide receiver, and Steve Smith, his thing is authenticity, right? You know what you're going to get with Steve Smith. He had the whole thing about calling, who do you call, Jerry Jeudy, I think, a jag, just a guy.
Mm.
And he went out and he like said that about him. And then he tried to dap up Jerry Jeudy and, you know, talk to him, and Jerry Jeudy blew him off. And so Steve Smith goes back on TV and just rips him, just destroys him. But you have these talent coaches that go in and then critique how you said this word, how you said that word. You have this crutch word, and try and morph them into a broadcaster who is now an analyst. And you see what they did there was they like, and it all turns into that. It all kind of morphs into the same guy. Dwayne Wade doesn't have that, clearly. He is just a dude who loves hoop and who knows hoop and talked about it. And I hope if he's going to be a broadcaster moving forward, a color analyst moving forward, they just let him continue to be that.
I hope so too, because it does feel like some of the guys that come out, they're so good right away.
Mm-hmm.
Then it almost becomes like a shtick and you're like...
Tony Romo?
Yeah, Tony Romo. Like Tony Romo initially was so good. I mean, he's literally calling almost every play. Like you know exactly what's coming because Tony Romo's telling you what's about to come on the field. And you're like, what in the world?
Mm-hmm.
And now it doesn't feel that way. It doesn't feel authentic or it got old.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why that is, but I hope that they don't mess with him and let him be who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Although... I think he comes across as authentic, where some guys who they're not polished enough.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, that's, you're not giving me enough. Like I need more than what's happening right there.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, dude. Okay. Tony Romo specifically, while we're here, I think he's fine. But the calling the plays thing, what made Tony Romo really good to me at the beginning was the genuine excitement about the sport of football.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turned into, like you said, the calling the plays thing was fun in that playoff game with the Chiefs and the Patriots, the AFC Championship game that the Patriots went on to win because D Ford was offsides, right? And he's calling the plays, but it was like in that moment, it's like, oh my God, this is so cool. I don't care about that when it's Jags and Saints in week four.
Mm.
I don't. And when that becomes your whole thing is just telling me what play is coming, that's not why I don't care.
Yeah, it does get old.
Yeah, it was.
And then
it was,
you're almost like, I need to see what his percentage is.
Right. Well, the people have tracked it and it is declining.
Yeah.
So that just stop doing that thing. Just be excited about football still.
Yeah.
But I think the further you get removed from it and the further you get removed from the players you played with, I think it just becomes harder and harder to have that same level of excitement about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just hope that if Dwayne Wade does stick with being a color analyst, he may not. I have no idea. He's Dwayne Wade. He can do whatever he wants. If he does stick with it, I hope he maintains that joy that he has. And you hear it in those calls during the Steph threes.
Yeah.
Like he's just, oh, no, don't do that. Oh, and he's, you know, just doing what everybody else is doing when they're watching the game. And that's what makes it. I thought it was great.
I think Dwayne Wade owns part of the Utah Jazz. Actually, he does. He does.
What?
Yeah. He became a minority owner of the Utah Jazz in 2021.
Okay, help me out here.
Yep.
You might know. If you don't, that's okay. Why and how does this happen? Like, why isn't Dwayne Wade a minority owner of the Miami Heat?
Well, it's possible that the Miami Heat don't want to sell any of the team.
Oh,
and
I see.
So it's
okay.
Possible. And
I thought maybe there were like these, I don't even know what you would call them, these just like available ownership shares that they would just have for...
Well, like Shaq used to be a part owner of the Sacramento Kings.
Right, so that's where I was kind of getting. How does Shaquille O'Neal become a minority owner of the Kings, or how does Dwayne Wade become a minority owner of the Jazz?
Well, I think like everyone is different, but like Shaq, it was like to try to build the global brand that is the Sacramento Kings.
Hmm.
It felt like even from the beginning, it's like, okay, it's really cool to have Shaq show up at like media day. Mm-hmm. That's fine. But at the same time, it's like, okay, what exactly is his role? What is he doing?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer was nothing. Like, he was not part of anything. He like wasn't really the ambassador that they thought he was.
Yeah, that
like,
was tough.
When they were trying to keep the Kings in Sacramento, Mitch Richmond bought in on a minority mm-hmm. share. But that made more sense. You're like bringing one of the legends back.
Right.
And even if that was like, hey, we'll let you in at a like a very small piece, mm-hmm. right? But it's going to look like more. Mm-hmm. You'll be like part of a group of people. So, yeah. And you'll be one of the big names on that. But, you know, everyone else is kicking in 500,000. How about you kick in like 25,000?
Mm.
I don't know what the number was, like
whether
he bought in big time or not. But I think a lot of time that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to sort of build the brand. And with the Kings, I mean, the Kings have always had like more than 30 owners, like not only like, since Vivek owned the team. So mm-hmm. they had a minority owner stake that went along with, which were a lot of the original owners, right? So mm-hmm. like Joe Benvenuti's shares were still there, right? And mm-hmm. then John Cariota still owns like a good portion. Mm-hmm. He had a big stake as a minority owner. And then when they bought the team, when Vivek bought the team, they've sort of balanced out who has what type of share in the ownership. Mm-hmm. So it's just complicated.
So when the Maloofs sold the team, they just sold their overall share. It's not like
they had two groups.
They buy out everybody.
Yeah. So they had another owner with them named Bob Heinrich, I believe,
mm-hmm.
who had like 10%. So it was their stake, which was like, I don't know if it was 50-something percent.
Sure.
And then him put them over the top at like 63%.
Got it.
Right? So that's how they maintained all of their control. And then there were smaller owners. Like even there's a gentleman named Bob Cook who had 7% and went through bankruptcy. And his 7% was bought by Vivek's group out of bankruptcy.
I see.
So they ended up buying some of the minority share. But there are minority owners of the Kings that had like a tremendous amount of stock. Like Benvenuti's family, I think, still has 15%+.
Oh my God.
So yeah, there are people. John Cariota still has like a 10% share. Although it might have been converted into something different when.
So do they do anything? Do they have a say in what happens?
No. Okay. So there are like three different boards. So you have Vivek, and then you have Vivek and like a small group, which is like
the small council,
five or six guys, mm-hmm. Five or six people, not mm-hmm. like, I don't know, men, women, whatever makes it up.
Sure.
And then there's another group that gets some of the information, but not all the information. Then there's another group that gets very little or no information. They mm-hmm. they get like financials and stuff like that, but it's more of like you're an owner in name only.
Right. You know, if you ever want to sell this, it's an investment, basically.
Well, if you ever want to sell it to it, you're right of first refusals with the minority stake. Mm. So yeah, so you have some major owners for sure. That you know, like Vivek has. Vivek's not even, or for a long time, he wasn't even one of the, he has a very small minority, well, not small, but like 15, 18%, something like that. there are other people that were with him, like the Jacobs brothers combined have more shares than Vivek, who the Qualcomm guys. And then Raj Bethal has, I believe, either the same amount or more than Vivek. Mm-hmm. But when they're building not just the arena, but that whole entire area, like there are cash calls that come out. So they're like, hey, we're going to build X amount and we need this much from the ownership group. So if you don't have that, your whatever your percentage is, we need $300 million. And so you have a 10% stake. We're going to need $30 million from you.
Oh, I see. So, okay. So that's why the percentage matters.
Yeah. So you can dilute down. You can say, okay, I don't have that. Like, does someone else want to buy some of my stake and I'll dilute down?
Right. I can do 5%. So I'm going to sell 5%.
Yeah. I need someone else to pick up the other 5%. Got so it. Who wants to buy, you know, some of my, like I can afford 15 million, but I can't afford the 30. So I, you know, you can dilute down in different ways. So
do you know how fire it would be to be able to afford 15 million?
Yeah.
That would be so sick.
To throw it out there.
Just, you need 15 mil? Yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
Well, they're asking me for $15 right now. I'm like,
There are some minority owners that have, like, that are very, very, like, again, the,
oh, for sure.
The Jacobs brothers are, you know, they're close to billionaires, right? And the same with Raj Bethal, who I believe is a billionaire. But then there are other guys who, you know, might have $150 million in their bank account or in their portfolio. It just depends. Like,
just have you're worth $200 million and you're the poorest person in the room would be insane.
Yeah, it's not, that would be wild. That would be wild. But like there are locals, like, you know, again, shout out to Phil Oates, who's always been part of like this group. There are a bunch of people like him that have like a group stake that are kind of together. They've kind of pulled their money and they have whatever their voting is. It's within like they have a group that has like three votes or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, it's really interesting. And we've had a lot of owners that like were part of the original when Vivek bought, like the Mark Mastrovs or Andy Miller, Brad Jenkins. Those guys are now gone.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of those guys have sold their shares and gone on to do other things. And like if you bought in at a $535 million valuation in 2013, and now the thing's worth $3 billion plus.
Yeah.
You did
making
okay.
Making a little money.
You did okay.
Yeah, so these guys basically treat it like an investment.
Yeah, I think a lot of them do, and then a lot of them like.
And it's like a foolproof investment because teams never get.
Yeah,
they never lose value.
Well, that and the television rights are about to go nuts. You got to remember the team was bought in like '84,
right,
in Kansas City for $12 million. And then it was sold again in like 1992.
They bought the team for the mid-level exception.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
That's wild.
Exactly. And then they sold again. I think it was like $164 million in like 2000. I mean, in 1992, and it came with debt. And then when the Maloof spot for probably, I think it was around $164 million, but then it also had like $70 million in debt.
Oh.
All of these numbers, I used to know all these numbers really, really well because I had written on the whole relocation so many times that, you know, it's just like, okay, I know exactly who owns what. I mean, could you imagine 7% stake in that team going into bankruptcy? And like, look what 7% of that would be worth right now.
Many, many millions of dollars.
Yeah. Like $210 million if it's at $3
billion? Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Kenny Caraway here for the handoff. I love that hat, Kenny. Welcome in. How you doing?
Thank you. I'm good, man. I'm good. Nice
excellent.
Weekend. Nice weekend, man. Excellent. It was a great weekend for sports. At least
it was a really good sports weekend, for sure. I want to hit multiple things here in the next 8 or so minutes.
Okay.
Team USA men's basketball.
Okay.
Steph Curry, am I right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, that's that.
one of the greatest to ever do it.
He's my favorite. You guys asked me on Friday if he was my favorite athlete of all time. Yeah, he is.
Steph Curry.
It's just he is now.
I
watched that show, Mr. Throwback.
It.
I watched the show, Mr. Throwback, on Peacock. Not that good of a show, but I was super invested because of it.
What is that?
I thought it was funny. Like genuinely, it's not the acting's not great.
Okay.
But it's about it's Steph. He's featured prominently in the show, and it's about. It's a fake story. This guy he played with in Charlotte who was better than him, but then his life just kind of went off the rails for various reasons, and now he has come back into Steph's life for nefarious reasons, but he's trying to not show that he's in his life for nefarious reasons, and everything just kind of like snowballs out of control, and they're shooting like a documentary about the whole thing. It's a good time.
Interesting.
It's a fun watch. Yeah, we really, really enjoyed it.
And by snowball, you mean?
I mean, like, it gets worse and worse. yeah, it was, dude, that game on Saturday was crazy.
Man.
I just levitated for the final 3 minutes. I was just floating above my couch.
I don't know if you guys had heard. I was completely away from civilization all Saturday. I was up in Yosemite.
Oh.
And the plan was to stay away and watch it when I got home. Mm-hmm. Watch the gold medal game when I got home. But, you know, the homies were texting me in the group chat and stuff like that. And I was just like, and I didn't really get reception at all. But like mm-hmm. when I, these little spots,
yeah. you just get a bunch of texts.
Yeah, it's like mm-hmm. the homie like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. Yeah. And it's like, I'm not going to be able to stay away from. And I try to, like when I watch something, like rewatch,
mm-hmm.
I try to not know the outcome.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I mean? Like I don't want to know. In this case, I'm going to go back. I still haven't rewatched the game, but I'm going to go back and watch it just because it was that amazing from the clips that I've seen and all this other stuff. But I try not to watch it.
Yeah.
But
I'm so excited for you to watch it. There's so much cool stuff that happened in that game.
Yeah. Yeah. I this was a busy weekend. I didn't get a chance to, but I just couldn't stay away. And people were like, this is amazing. And Steph saved all this other stuff. So I seen the highlights. I heard the clips that I heard it. And seen the clips of Noah Eagle and his response yeah. and all this other stuff. And basketball is just the best.
I love basketball. Cool.
I love basketball so much.
Have you seen the Stephon Marbury video?
I did.
That was great.
Really cool, man. Yeah. I mean, and that's what I love.
It really is a brotherhood.
I'm biased. I love football. I love mm-hmm. the NFL. I love mm-hmm. college football, whatever. But basketball is just different. Like you get Carmelo, his son, and Stephon Marbury right there in these moments. You don't get that in football.
Nope,
like you don't
not at
get
all.
You don't get Jerry Rice, he's there, but you don't get Roger Craig and him like dapping up Debo after he mm-hmm. scores it. Like you just
Well, they're certainly not at the Super Bowl dapping up guys who they never played with.
Right. Right.
Like
right.
that's
it's just that for me, I just love basketball. I love that aspect of it, man.
Scottie Pippen was there?
Like I'm here for the randos. Like
same.
Even Carmelo, it's like, all right, man, that's fine. Like, good to see Carmelo again. Like,
yeah.
Well, even on top of that, we talked about a little bit on Friday because we saw this during the silver medal game, but the semifinal game.
Yeah.
You know, you got Quavo and Travis Scott sitting there courtside. Like Quavo and Travis Scott aren't gonna be at the NFC Championship game.
No. Unless you know it's in Atlanta.
And they might not be on the field, though. They'll be in a box, and that's different.
Yeah, good point.
You know what I mean? They're not going to be
–
you're not going to see them on the field as Pennix, you know, throws the game-winning touchdowns. It's just a different vibe.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about NBA Finals, and, you know, when Golden State was doing us, Rihanna, you know, mm-hmm. Jay-Z, courts. It's just – I don't want to say one is better than the other. It's just different.
It's like, very different.
You can't get – the things that you get in the NBA, in mm-hmm. the NFL.
Yeah.
I definitely, like, if I had the budget, would love to have gone and watched just the vibe.
Mm.
Like that was crazy. It would be really fun. Plus, like, Paris is pretty amazing. Although I would not want to go to Paris during the Olympics.
Paris had some, I don't want to say sketchy moments, but there's some weird things going on in Paris. Did you see
with the Olympics?
Well, like the water,
the sign. Just like,
have you seen the
living situation? Trista had some videos about the living situation was crazy.
Well, but that's every Olympics.
You saw the video with Sonya Curry and
oh Aisha yeah, Curry and Aisha and getting stuff. Accosted like, by the police.
Yeah, and there was like a hand. I don't want to say it was like crazy, but there's just a handful of little stories like that you hear outside the Olympic.
Yeah.
You know, I thought they did a great job. I'm not here to disparage them mm-hmm. in any way. It, like from my seat, watching the games, mm-hmm. Paris was fantastic.
Yeah.
But, just saw little things here and there that was kind of weird.
Yeah. Vibes bad with the Niners?
Vibes are really bad.
Vibes are tough right now.
Yeah, vibes are really, really bad with the Niners.
Yeah.
If I always, I know people try to, oh, Kenny's a homer, whatever the case may be. That is far from the truth. I just tell it how it is. But
how many titles they have?
They've got five. How many should they have? 10 to 11. So, yeah, so you guys talk about, you guys say it all wrong. I don't say they have those titles. I don't, they don't have rings for them. Right. I'm saying they should have this many. There's a, that's two completely different things.
Gotcha.
But I like to think about, like, if the Eagles were having this training camp that the 49ers are having, I'd be like, oh, yeah, it's over for
them
boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, the ascension is going down. So I could see a lot of people feeling that way about the 49ers. I think they have the talent. I said that a couple of times about Seattle, right? Mm-hmm. And they still, like, at least got to the divisional round and all this other stuff. So I think they're still going to be good. But it's not good vibes right now. Yeah. It is not good vibes right now in Santa Clara.
Trent Williams signs a contract. Brandon Ayuk signs a contract. And Christian McCaffrey's healthy to practice week one. Everything will be fine.
Mm.
Or it'll feel a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But right now, there's just nothing. They're, like, drowning, it feels like. And there's nothing for them to grab onto.
Yeah.
And it's just really hard to spin a picture of everything's going to be fine week one Monday Night Football against the Jets. It's going to be totally cool. Everything will be good.
The crazy thing about it is, even if, I mean, let's just say two of those three things happen. Let's just say Brandon Ayuk isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're still good.
Yeah.
I don't mean this. I'm not talking crazy about Brandon. I need, you know, him if they're trying to win a championship. But you go into, oh, man, we don't have Brandon Ayuk, but we got Kittle. We got Debo in the best shape. It's like, we got Christian McCaffrey. We got Brock Purdy. We got Fred Warner. We got Travarius. Like, you good.
Yeah.
You good. No doubt. You're about as good as anybody in the NFC if just two of those things happen. So, hopefully.
All right. Anything else, James?
No, I think we're good.
I'm done for the week.
Oh,
Ham inside. Yeah, I'm out. I'm taking some time off.
All right,
man. Hammond Sides the rest of the week. D'Lo and KC coming up next.
That's right, that's right.
Hammond Sides tomorrow at 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1320. It's a great name for the show. Until tomorrow at 10 a.m., drink water and be nice, people. Bye!
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.